Woot.
Hey, I can turn this on all by myself. It's fantastic. I can turn it on. I can turn it on. Ah, good times. The simplest things make me happy.
I know.
This is really the engineering method, by the way. The engineer's method is to give you nothing, to make you work in a studio. It is basically a gigantic habit hamster cage. Where nothing operates correctly, things break, and then when they fix something and it works properly, then you are grateful. It's sort of like, it's kind of like the husband who beats you senseless, and then when he does, you just, oh, he loves me so much. That's totally what it is. Like when he buys you a dog. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. About monkeys, this email says, and punching people. Dude, I have to tell you, there's already a video game with monkeys. Well, it's Rampage. Yeah, Rampage doesn't really count, though. Rampage is it's two things. It's an old school video game called Rampage, which is Godzilla. It's similar to, but legally distinct from Godzilla and King Kong destroying a city, and you can eat people, which is great. And there's a new sort of 3D, like new school version that just came out. I saw something about that in Blender. Blah-da-da-blah. Rick, you should have Scotty J, the intern, take the personality test for the Scientologist. Because here's the thing, is he... I don't know that he's strong-willed enough. He seems a little soft-brained about such things. He might...
I know, I feel bad for him. He was so upset about that.
I'm just saying he seems eager to please, and I suspect that that's exactly what they go for. The whole, he seems like that guy who just doesn't want to let anybody down, and so...
How awful would that be? We send him down as a joke, and then he joins Scientology.
That would not work out well. I had this revelation about Scotty J, and you know, he's a great guy. You know who he really is, though? I had this realization. It was this moment of clarity last night. Scotty J is, wait for it, Johnny Drama from Entourage.
Yeah.
He is Johnny Drama. Kind of older guy, you know, a little bit older a little bit older than maybe he should be or wants to be for where he is on that specific career path, but a go-getter, good-hearted, kind of got that same sort of vibe.
They
kind of
look alike, too.
Yeah, and he's got that, like, trying to look like a man's man and trying to whatever, but it's just a whiff of the dork vibe there. So there is like a Scotty J, Johnny Drama kind of a thing. In fact, it's really tempting to start calling him Scotty Drama, but I will not do that. It's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. Bottom of the hour, Jim Roop is going to be here. What else? Later on, we got the worst thing you've heard today. And we played some terrible, terrible, terrible things. I have for you the Starbucks Company Pride song. It's not fake. It's not made up. I assure you it is real. So we've got that and top five songs most likely to be stuck, in your head and so forth. It should be noted, by the way, that Sarah Dillon apparently slept last night in a bed filled with ants. Just so you know, like in case you're wondering about Sarah, I get a lot of questions about Sarah's sleeping habits. What does she wear? What doesn't she wear?
No, it was during my nap this morning because I had napped between job number one and job number two.
Now, how did you know that the ants were there?
Because I was trying to sleep and I kept feeling something on my arm. And so I was like, I thought maybe Muppet had fleas.
Well, you wouldn't feel a flea. They're too small.
Okay.
They're minuscule. A flea, because when we first got Max, they had, not taking bad care of him, but, you know, you do the flea treatment like once every 6 weeks or something, and it was right towards the end of the flea cycle. And so there was a thing where we thought they'd done it, and they thought we did it. Anyway, so he had those the first, like, month or whatever we had him, we had to get rid of him. But they're tiny. You would never even know. They're minuscule. No, ants, though. Now, were these the black sugar ants?
No, they were just these tiny little ants.
The little tiny black ones.
Yeah. And it was crawling on my arm, and then I woke up, and, like, I shook it off,
Now, when you sleep, now is this in the a lot of clothing or?
Rick.
I'm just curious about the ants.
I sleep in a t-shirt and, like, sweatpants.
Okay, that's what I'm... See? Okay. I'm not trying to be creepy.
No, and I felt it on my arm, then, like, picked it up, tried to go back to sleep, felt another one on my arm. Then I pulled back my blankets, and I was so scared. I was so scared.
Did you pull back the blankets, and there's, like, a horde of ants?
No, I thought that Muppet had, like, maybe dragged an apple core or something into my room.
Oh, visualizing that is terrible.
No, so I only found about five of them, five or six of them, but they were under my covers. it grossed me out.
Okay, but there's only five or six. You know, those are scouts. Oh. You know, those are those they get set out ahead of the rest of the crew. They're like the recon patrol.
I never eat food in my room ever. Yeah. I'm pretty clean, and
it doesn't matter. Ants will get it. Ants. People will talk about the squid killing us all and everything. It's going to be ants. Ants and squid are going to run the world. Ants are unstoppable. They are the creature that will be at the top of the food chain someday. It's funny you mentioned, because last night I was watching a whole thing about fire ants. This whole documentary on the Discovery Channel. Because I, like all guys, I have this fixation on fire ants because they are completely and totally unstoppable. There's nothing in America that can stop them or kill them. They are spreading throughout the country. They will kill us all. And they had that story about, okay, I have to tell this one quick fire ant story, just so I can make everybody itch uncontrollably, and then we'll take these phone calls, and then we'll talk about it. And I got all the Steven Seagal stuff we got to get to. Okay, so this is a great fire ant story. Because, you know, the thing is, fire ants aren't supposed to be in North America. They're from Argentina and, you know, Brazil. They're not meant to be here. So as a result, they have no natural predators. There is nothing in North America that preys on fire ants. They are not afraid of anything. Typically, like an insect recognizes that you're bigger, right? If you run at it, like even a spider, like it runs away. Fire ants, no. You run at it, they just swarm, like, right back at you. If you try to attack a fire ant, they just come right at you. They don't care.
Of anteaters.
No, because anteaters only eat sugar ants because they don't do nothing to you. No, fire ants, you don't understand. Fire ants can kill elephants. Like, if they've had, you know, like sick elephants that are not able to get away, fire ants all over them, just totally take them down. There's this whole thing at the Discovery Channel about fire ants. Yeah, they have no predators here. There's nothing that attacks them. Get this, they showed this thing on the Discovery Channel. They took a plate full of fire ants and they microwaved them. And the ants are just fine. Like, they microwave the ants. They open the door, like, after 2-3 minutes. Ants, fine, come out. They're just a little annoyed. That's all, man. They'll kill you. They'll kill you dead.
Maybe if they push a TV dinner button.
get the flambe. Anyway, so this woman is out riding her horse. You know, da-da-da-da-da. Look at me. I'm riding the horse. Horse kicks her off for some reason. The horse, you know, tripped or fell or whatever. Kicks her off. She lands. It messes up her back so she can't get up. Of course, wait for it. Bam! Lands on a fire ant nest.
Oh.
Laying there, fire ants, wham! Thousands of bites. And so by the time her husband comes out, Gladys, where are you? Oh, look at you, being savagely bitten by fire ants. It takes her to the hospital, right? And she's laying in the hospital bed. And as she's in the hospital bed, this is like a real hospital. It's not like the Okefenokee swamp or anything. It's like a real hospital. She's sitting there and she's like, oh, damn, I get... damn this tingling and these bites and this throbbing and whatever and all these pustules, you know, damn all this fire ant pain. And she keeps complaining to the doctors that the fire ant stinging, you know, the sensation just won't go away. And they're like, well, it takes forever. It takes forever for those stings to quit hurting, blah, 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 blah. Finally, she has enough of it. She just throws back the covers. Fire ants all in the hospital bed.
Oh.
Just by horrible coincidence, the hospital bed had been near a crack in the wall. Fire ants had poured in, and they're like, look, someone wounded. Into the bed. And they're blind. That's the creepy thing. They can't even see. Imagine if they could see.
Oh, my God.
Also, they're resistant to pesticides. If you try to flood them out, they create bridges by linking themselves together.
Do you know how long you've been talking about fire ants now?
Fire ants are pretty great. If I could be any creature other than a human, I would be a fire ant.
You want to be blind?
Yeah, but I'd be...
You'd be what? You'd be small and pesky?
I'd be impervious.
Yeah, a nearsighted fire ant.
Okay. It's 503-733-2970.
That was fascinating.
Thank you. Let's take these calls, then we'll talk Steven Seagal.
Again?
Yeah.
Is he calling us?
No. He is in our top eight. Hi, who's this?
That's CJ.
Hi, what's up, brother?
Well, I was thinking about your Horns Across Hawthorne thing.
Yes.
And you said you were doing it at 6:06, right?
6:06 p.m., yes.
Shouldn't you be doing it at 7:06 p.m.?
Well, that's what Sarah was saying, because it's, whatever, it's 66 minutes past something or other.
Yeah, 66 minutes past
but
6.
At that point, I think it becomes confusing. I think it's, at that point, for me, for my feeble brain, plus it's not going to look as good on a T-shirt or a laminate or a poster or whatever.
And
it's
at that point, we could be drinking at Sabala's.
Totally, that's the thing, is we could be anyway. We could be at Dante's, putting in, you know.
Or, yeah, Dante's. Well, sorry.
Well, no, I'm just, or wherever. I don't really care. But yeah, we're going to be retiring to Dante's afterward. Like 6:30 to 8. But it just, I'm thinking about, like, if it's on, like, a little, like a laminate or whatever we make that's like a, you know, because we're going to get, you show up for this, you're going to get, like, a thing. thing that's like an I was there. And think how cool that's going to look. It's going to be like 6:06:06, and then below it, 6:06 p.m. It's just going to be a whole row of sixes. So we, yeah, Sarah did bring up the 7 thing, and it took me a minute to get it. I was like one of those thick people that didn't know the millennium started in 2001. And so but it is cool. But I think it's going to look better on the laminate or the shirt or whatever to have all the sixes.
All right.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, though. I good looking out, though.
All right.
Thank you. All right. At Dante's afterward, we're going to be Pentagram of Prizes.
This is Chris.
All right, Chris, you're going to have to hold on just 1 second. I'm not quite done with my
whoring,
observation.
He's whoring, Chris.
I'm pimping, Chris. So we're going to, so we'll gather around 5:30, I think. We line up. You party. Everybody, you line up on the Hawthorne Bridge, and then at 6:06, and we're going to have to, this is going to be tricky, though, because we're going to have to stay, because the Hawthorne Bridge is long, and we're going to have to station people every 100 yards or so we can synchronize it. And I'll have to have one of those, you know, a pump hit, one of those things. One of those things that Mike Chase used to bellow at Ian Gordon every morning. My coffee isn't properly heated. You can be replaced.
Gosh, that was awkward.
So, and then I'll have to be like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, raise your horns, you know, now. And then everybody will raise their horns at 6:06. Hurrah, picture, and then to Dante's, spin the pentagram of prizes and consume. Chris, what's up, brother?
Well, I got a $1,000,000 idea, and I wanted to see if you got my email.
Great, and I don't know. What is your... Now, are you sure you want to say your $1,000,000 idea right here on the airwaves where it will be stolen by someone?
I'm at the point now where...
Where you're going to take
really
your own
life
anyway.
Anymore, so it's just a freebie for all the geeks.
You're at the point where what?
I'm really... I don't feel good. Anyways,
Have you taken a large number of painkillers, Chris?
No, I'm just tired of life.
Let's all stop now.
Well, I'm not trying to bring your show down. I'm trying to give you a class project for all the geeks out there.
Okay, but let's go back to the you being tired of life for a moment. What's that
I
all
think
about?
We ought to get the idea before.
Yeah.
Well, let's get the idea first. I signed out saying I'm Joe versus World.
Okay.
And it was a couple weekends ago.
All right, I don't know that I got. I'm sorry, I apologize. I got it. Sarah can kind of verify this. I get.
He literally gets. It has like an inbox of 2,000.
Right now, Sarah. What is?
The loser who's married for 7 years.
All right, Sarah. What is my?
He gets it once a quarter.
All right, hold on just a second.
Rick's inbox has 3,136.
Mm-hmm. So I apologize.
He's not trying to treat you the way the rest of the world is.
No, I'm not trying to make it Joe versus Rick. Hold on. Let's just stop here. So you are married, or you have been married?
I'm still currently married.
How long have you been married?
Since I was 19.
And so what is?
3 weeks before my son was born.
All right, so we gotta keep all this clean for the radio. But what is the problem? Why are you feeling so down?
Well, I'm just I don't feel loved, man. I really don't. So
by whom? By your wife?
I'm the 350-pound guy who's just pissed off.
Have you been doing some drinking today, Chris?
No. I'm working.
All right. So yeah, you don't really sound like you're in a peppy frame of mind about all this.
No, well, that's how I am every day, and it's making everybody crazy. I make my wife cry every day. It's just not any fun.
Yeah, I can see how that would be the case. So I feel like a big jerk. So you sent me an email about this. So how you're feeling? How you're feeling down about everything? So you
and you're the light in my life, and I thought I'd share my idea with you and see if you can't get some brains wrapped around.
What is your idea? What is your idea? And maybe this will reverse the trend, Chris. Maybe this will.
I like you, like sticking it to the man whenever I can.
Yes.
And I want to know if it's possible to make a wind-powered vehicle.
Well, I believe those are called boats.
No. You put electric wheels for powering the car, and as it gains speed,
yes,
and the wind passes through the vehicle, as it does to every other vehicle on the road,
yes,
you have little generators that pick up the wind.
So this is sort of like a perpetual motion car, where you would start the car with a battery, and then as you travel, the wind that goes against the car goes through the car and powers some sort of turbine to keep the car rolling.
Or for several thousand little ones, sure.
Wow. Yes.
That's genius.
That's a great idea. It's a reason to live, Chris.
Well, you know, because the weight of an engine is a whole bunch, and, a little electric motor, that can pick up quite a bit of power just by sticking your finger out. You know?
It is true. All right, so Chris, now I hate to be this guy, so we got all these things that are coming. I got Sarah's gonna shoot me if I don't take a break.
Show down.
No,
I
no.
I wanted you to know that I love you. All right,
I'm not trying to get rid of you. I'm just saying. So I'm not trying to rush you along, but I'm saying so you've been married now. Is the problem just that you're unhappy being married?
Well, it's that I'm too loyal. I cheated on my woman last summer, and I haven't been able to get my head out of it.
And so now does she know this, or is this like a thing?
No.
Yeah, well, okay. First of all, don't tell her that.
No,
because that's not gonna work. All right. So is your problem? So you're just feeling down because you cheated, and so you're just carrying her. Is that kind of where all this is coming from?
It's been kind of my idea of how I'm going to go out all my life anyways, and I figure now is as good a time as any.
Well, hold on. I got to bleep that.
Sorry.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, you
got emotional, sorry.
That's okay. So when you say go out, now, yeah, what are you talking about there?
Well, I'm self-employed.
Right.
I haven't been able to get my head or my books straight.
Right.
I lost my driver's license. I can't afford to drive anyway.
How'd you lose your driver's license?
Well, through a mistake at the DMV, they didn't have me in the system as paid, so they suspended my license. I got pulled over, and then it's just been a recycling suspension ever since then a year now.
Now, Chris, are you now whereabouts?
I'm going to court today.
Hold on. Where do you live in Portland?
I live in Beaverton.
You live in Beaverton. Okay. Now, are you still living with your wife?
Yes.
All right. And you said you have a son. Do you have other kids?
Yes, I have those twins. I called you a couple times, and I sound like an idiot every time I call.
No. Don't worry about it. You sound fine. So right now you're feeling down because you don't have a job, and then you have this problem. You know, you did this, this thing that you feel bad about. You cheated on your wife, and so you're feeling bad about that.
Well, I think she deserved it because she hasn't. Dude, I tell you, I had sex with her the first time that when we got married. She was pregnant, right? So
right.
I didn't get any from the time that we found out she was pregnant until about 6 months after we got married. And then afterwards she goes, is that how I gotta get you to be nice to me or whatever?
And so you just were feeling, you didn't feel like you were fulfilled at home.
Well, and I'm a big guy, Rick. I mean, I've been working on it. I look a lot better than I did when I first met her, but.
Well, here's when you're talking about this is how you're going to go out, what are you talking about there? What do you mean?
Well, it's just always been a plan to take care of myself before they got to get some crew in here to pick my fat ass off the floor.
Well, you don't want to be doing that, dude. You don't want to, I need all the listeners I can get there, pal. You don't want to be doing that.
Well, they wouldn't let me at your last Rick Emerson party there, your last party, because I didn't have my license. I lost it 2 days before.
Oh, you didn't have the ID.
Party. And then the chick kicks me out, and I'm like, really, nobody under the age of 21 should look this pathetic. And she laughed and shooed me away.
How old are you?
I'm 27.
Hey, dude, Sarah can tell you this. You look at me like 2-3 years ago. I'm all like bloaty McPasty, and I got the bad. I got like 9 chins. I got to carry like a wheelbarrow around to like carry my waddle.
You talked about it, but the only time I've ever seen your picture is recently because I'm never on the internet.
That's what I'm saying. It's a whole new Rick, baby. So I mean, you gotta get on that Rick plan where you try to become less hideous.
Well, that's the whole point. I've dropped about 15% body fat, and I'm still 350 pounds, but still, you know, I mean. It's a lot for anybody to want on top of them. So.
All right. Well, I mean, you got it. What are you doing to get rid of, to drop the weight?
Well, I work out about 6 days a week, and
all right. So
I have some friends there, but it's like if I cheat on my woman, I don't know what I'm going to do with my kids, and I just I my wife, I just feel like she'd be better off without me. Sometimes.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe you don't want to be married anymore. Maybe you do. I don't know. But that's a whole separate issue because, you know, it sounds like you're in the process of taking care of things. You gotta, you look in the mirror and you see the things you don't like and you take care of them. So if you say to yourself,
what I'm doing this weekend about it, Rick.
Mm.
I'm going to go meet somebody about being a professional wrestler. And if that happens for me, I got something to look forward to. So you can feel better if you see this big lummox on TV.
Well, it's always good to have dreams, my friend.
Well, I'm just so angry about it that I feel sorry for whoever's got to look at me.
Well, I mean, it sounds like
provoking shirts. I've been in too many fights with all these Republicans. I myself am a libertarian, and therefore I'm pissed off.
All right. Well,
I have more O'Reilly friendly people that just want to blow my head off with their rifles that they have.
You have to like hang around so you can continue to annoy those people, Chris.
Well, yeah, that's why we're construction, so I can get into it.
But. All right. So, Chris. So here's the thing. All right. So you're like taking care of stuff, got a handle on it, you're gonna drop the weight, you're not gonna do anything weird, all right, you're not gonna like hurt yourself in any way, right?
Well, I've been suppressing it for a long time, so I know what I'm doing to keep myself from doing anything. And I'm the kind of person that doesn't like to leave a big smelly pile on the floor for anybody else to pick up.
So. Well, I mean, the key is to not do that anywhere, at home or anywhere else.
Well, there's always a time and a place for everything, right?
Well, clearly that's a thing that there isn't a time and a place for.
I'm just tired, Rich.
Well.
Tired of it.
Yeah, and I mean, I understand how it could be. It's like, and you get stuck inside it. You don't know how to get your head out of it. You look in the mirror, you look at your pocketbook, you look at your bank book or your wife or whoever, and you just feel like you get boxed in. So, I mean, I think everybody's kind of been there.
And I try not to feel sorry for myself, and that's why I'm giving you this million-dollar idea, buddy.
All right, so what is the million-dollar idea? You got the car thing? This is the wind-powered car?
Oh, yes. You need to... I did a little model of it for my kid's little science project, just because it's been an idea ever since I was a kid. And I'm just... I've written to Dodge, I've written to Chevy, I've written to Mythbusters... And nobody tries it, and I want Portland to do it because I know there's people out here that can.
All right. Hey, Chris, so I'll tell you what. I'm going to do me a huge favor. Now, I don't want you to go anywhere. I want you to hang on because Sarah's totally going to punch me in the face if I don't take this break here. But I want to talk to you off the air, okay?
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to put you on hold. Don't hang up, all right? You stay right there?
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to put you on hold right now, and I'm going to pick you up in like 10 seconds, all right? You hang on?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, man, Chris, you stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio. You stay right there. Don't go anywhere.
How low can you go? Death row. What a bummer. Once again, back is the incredible.
So we talked to that guy Chris off the air, and the miracles of technology. We have like this whole weird phone system here. We don't even really have a phone. It's just like a box with all
like
these lines. It's like a big. It looks like a keyboard. So we put him on hold, and we patched him directly into the Oregon County Crisis Line, and they got his phone number. And a very nice woman named Sandy answered the phone. And got his number and is talking to him now. So,
good.
So there you go. So everybody kind of wondering about Chris there. So we took care of Chris. So Chris is, and I made him, and I know
you're a little freaked out, but you handled that well.
Yeah, I thought it was, you handled that well.
It's a scary situation. It's a bad scenario.
The weird thing about it is, the crisis here is me and how I feel about this. It's really how it impacts me that matters. Me, Rick Emerson. Tim, you can probably speak to this. You always hear in radio about things like that. You always hear these stories about DJs who are on the phone late at night, and it's always a DJ, and it's always at like 2 in the morning. And you answer the phone, and it's like some guy calling up to request a Molly Hatchet record. And then it, you know, and then he tells you he's like got the gun in the mouth, you know.
If you don't play it.
I've actually worked at the station where that happened. I had a guy, not me, but a woman named Trish in Salt Lake, and a guy was like, I don't even know. I think he was like actually holding a gun on himself and his kid or whatever.
Oh,
and it was a whole, and he literally kept her on the phone for like an hour making her play records that he wanted. And it was like he had the gun on himself and somebody else. But you always hear those stories in radio about a guy who calls up and, you know, just sounds like he's in a bad way and like he might be, you know, going to kind of take himself out. And then you all, as a DJ and whatever, you always think to yourself, how would I, Rick Emerson? Because it's always about you. In your head, you're like, how can I look heroic? How would I? Because Howard, I know, had to do that one time. There was a guy literally on Howard's show back when he was on the radio. Howard had a guy like literally on a bridge. The guy was on a bridge, like with a cell phone, I think. And, you know, and the guy was, you know, he's like, I'm going to jump. And Howard literally, like, talked the guy down off the bridge. So, anyway, so there you go. The very best part of that call was the Chris at the beginning was that guy saying he didn't want to bring the show down. That was the best moment. Rick, I don't want to bring the show down, but... anyway, so there you go.
You did good.
Yep,
Rick.
You did a good job.
Well, I
did what had to be done.
Well, and just for people who were, if I've been thinking, I guess we would have what I should have done is I should have. It looks like it all worked out, but
no, you did the right
we should have patched him in like live on the air. But I didn't even think about it. I one of those things. But we got off the air, and I'm gonna go on and on about it. But we put him and another woman on the phone together at the same, or a woman on the phone at the same time. I swear to God, when you call the crisis line, the suicide line, they do the whole like your call will be taken in the order it was received. It wasn't that. It wasn't. I don't want to cast aspersions, but there was like this long delay. Like it felt like it took like 10 minutes. It was like a whole lot of. They said they did the whole your call may be monitored for quality, and you're like, hello, give me an operator. So we got him on the phone with a woman who took his home phone number. We read it back to him. He promised to answer it, and I made him promise to call the show tomorrow at 12:30 about his car ID, which is a pretty great idea, by the way. I had Sean, the engineer, pop in. It's a great idea. Oh, all right.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah. It seems like we ought to be able to. There we go.
That chair is everywhere.
There you go. That's a little.
I guess we miss Root.
Did he call?
No, but we only have the warm line. So he might have been calling when we were on the
Was I on the warm line talking to the woman? Maybe. I don't know. Okay.
I heard this playing out of some sales guy's cubicle.
Oh, no. Alicia in sales is playing it all the time. By the way, while we're talking about that, I should note that I've gotten now like many, many, many remixes of that song, which we will be inflicting on people.
Can we hear one?
Let's hear one now, Sarah. Way to refocus the. Wait for it.
Ooh, I don't like that. It reminds me of being in Mexico in like a really shoddy dance club.
Yeah. They should make this the music on the suicide prevention line. Calling, you're on hold. all right. That's a little gallows humor there is what that is. All right. It's, we should probably, hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm fine. Am I on the air?
Yeah, I'm just afraid to not answer the phones now. Every time I see a phone line ringing, I'm like, oh, God, it'll be on my head if I don't pick it. Because then you'll read the note the next day. You know, tried to call Rick Emerson to find reason to live. No one answered. Figured I am shunned by Emerson Show as well. Hope you all suffer now. You know, body in basement. So there you go. So now it's like every time the phone rings, like, oh, we got to pick it up. It's our duty. It's part of our public service. What's up? How can I help you?
Just 3 words to take care of those fire ants.
Yes, let's turn.
We've been
back.
Waiting for this part.
That was really the tragedy of the whole Chris situation. He diverted us from talking about fire ants. Well, yes. What is the yes?
Giant magnifying glass.
Thank Thank you. Are you right? This, send that to David Letterman. It screams top ten.
You'd cut a giant swath through him with a swiveling magnifying glass.
All right. You do get points for using the phrase giant swath. Thank you.
Why don't we just douse them with kerosene?
They do that. That's actually how that is. Thank you. What was your name?
Sarah.
Tim Ryan.
Thank you, sir. yeah, that's the only thing they have in the South that works on fire ants, by the way. They literally, they put these big kerosene bombs down in the anthole, and then they blow it up.
Right, this is how it takes it gets down there.
Yeah. All right, it's 503-733-2970.
Why don't we devote the rest of this hour to fire ant conversations?
Let's just do nothing but fire... Let's just all hug.
Fire ants and suicide.
Let's bring in puppies and then just have a lot of charming stories about pets for the rest of the... Let's talk about pets and, like, cats playing with balls of yarn and rainbows.
Just a minute. We could have another important caller any moment.
Please tell me this is Jim Roop.
It is.
All right.
All right.
All right. It's,
He's here to save us.
Thank God.
Maybe he has some good fire ant stories.
Maybe. All right. Maybe he's depressed about something. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. From Los Angeles, Jim Roop, how are you?
I have no fire ant stories.
All right. Well, that's good to know.
Sorry.
How's your day going?
My day's going well, thank you.
All right, then.
Your day is not? Come on, tell
well,
me.
Well, see, and I'm really... On the one hand, it's like I hate to keep having to reset it, but I also don't want people to think that we're just stoned today and out of it. Now you worked in radio for a long time, right? You were a DJ and so forth.
Yeah.
And did you ever have? Because I was talking to Tim about this. We had a short while ago. We had a guy call up, and a listener who just seemed very on the edge, as it were. Saying a lot of things that indicated that he was, you know, maybe thinking about the, you know, hopping in front of a train somewhere. And, you know, when we kept him on the phone, we put him in touch with, you know, the people who deal with that kind of thing. But it's the sort of thing you always hear about in radio, that you pick up the phone late at night in the request line, and it's some guy standing on a chair with the rope around his neck, you know, and then, you know, you always hear this story about the Dr. Johnny Fever guy who has to, like, talk the guy down or whatever. Has that ever happened? Anything like that ever happened to you?
Yeah, weird stuff like that's happened before.
Where you get the guy on the phone who...
I had to connect him to somebody who could save his life, because Lord knows if he talked to me any longer, he'd die.
Well, that was my... That's my thing. I'm talking to this guy, and I'm looking down, and I'm like, what have I got prepared for the show today that I could tell him is worth living for? We've got... I've got this whole thing about coffee. No, I... Yeah, woman's hair catches fire. Let's see, children hit by bus. No, you know, just looking down, it's nothing.
10-acre fire near school.
It's nothing but cancer rates up. Global warming to kill all. It's just nothing but depressing news.
Well, this guy requested Ohio by Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young.
Really?
I was happy to play it for him for 4 minutes and 15 seconds, however long it was, as depressing a song as it was. It's a good song. And I was able to get a hold of somebody who then came in the studio and talked to him, because we didn't have any way to conference calls in back then.
Right, right.
It was the old days where we had string and cans.
Yeah. And so he did.
It's weird, though.
Yeah, no, it's the weirdest thing ever. Yeah. So.
And it kind of puts you in a funk the rest of the day.
Yeah, we're kind of feeling that now.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not going to kill myself, sir.
No, thank you. Jim Roop is all about life.
Until you answer the phone. Once I heard your voice, I thought life is beautiful.
Yes. Well, see, there you go. We should, you know, we should demand a Murrow Award for this. all right. That is servicing the audience one person at a time, Jim Roop. What we did.
Amazing.
All right. I don't even know what the hell we were going to talk. I don't even have my CNN prep sheet. Sarah, did I leave my prep sheet over there? The hell are you even talking about today, Jim Roop?
Basically, I'm covering the Vicente Fox.
Oh, yeah, here it is.
Governor Schwarzenegger just had his news conference.
He's on it. He's going to, I swear to God they call it this, the Palm Springs of the Northwest, Yakima, Washington. I don't know why he's going there. Apparently, maybe the government wants to keep Mexicans in Mexico, and by having him take a look at what Yakima looks like, they're hoping that he will take the word back home that it's a bad place and they should stay there.
Well, I think there's too many protesters in Seattle.
Yes, maybe. Well, do you see this? That he's going to Salt Lake and then Yakima.
He's already been there.
Yeah, well, why? For what possible reason
he was invited to Salt Lake City by, he was invited to Utah by the governor of Utah.
But, okay, and what is
don't ask me.
What is he doing there?
Talking trade. You know, that's the official reason for the visit.
All right.
You know, trade with Mexico. And Governor Schwarzenegger, who just completed his news conference, says, yeah, he's looking forward to talking with trade, because Mexico is California's number one trading partner. He wants to strengthen that, wants a trade mission to Mexico. But he also wants to talk about immigration and border security. And he wants to make sure that Mexico knows it is also responsible for illegal immigration into this country. And they need to do something about raising their minimum wage, strengthening their economy, making things better for their workers so they don't have to come over here. In fact, the governor said, wouldn't it be great if Americans were trying to go under the fence the other way? Mexico was so strong.
Seriously. We were talking about this. We had a story yesterday that in Mexico, like, if you're not born in Mexico, there's like 98% of the jobs they won't hire you to do.
Well, all they do there is make piñatas.
Yeah. You can make discount Pokemon merchandise. All right.
It'll be interesting, especially when he comes here to Los Angeles on Friday to speak with Mayor Villaraigosa, Mayor Photo Op, and also talk with Mexican nationals on American soil. I don't think that's ever happened before, so that'll be interesting to see what kind of protests there are on both sides of the street when he gets here.
Oh, you have the weirdest job.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Jim Roop, I have nothing. I could pretend that I have something, but I have nothing here.
You have life, and you have love, and I can feel it.
Yes, it's true.
It's contagious, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
Feel it all the way down there.
Rick Emerson Show, feel our new spark.
I like that.
Thank you. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, Los Angeles.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right. I'm now getting all of these things. Rick, listen to this. You should have directed into that video of two girls making out on your website. That's more than enough to live for. No, it really is true. Who saw the picture on my website or the video of the two girls making out?
Best
thing ever. And they're not nude. They're clothed.
I haven't had time yet today.
It is theoretically safe for work. I mean, I guess. There's no bosoms or breasts. You go to rickemerson.com, yesterday's blog entry, there's a fascinating short video clip of a couple girls kissing. Joni DeRoshi sent that to me.
Is that one of her newest offerings?
No. Oh. I told her. Now, listen to this. Speaking of things to live for, I, for the longest time when we were unemployed, tried to get Joni to go into business with me, just selling DVDs of not sex, no nudity, just DVDs of hot girls kissing. I think it's a great idea. It's a fantastic. Sarah's wrinkling her nose, but you know if it was a video of just
guys.
Not, you know, nude, not the full on sexing, but just two cute guys kind of kissing, doing the making out, you'd be into that.
Because
when
you
saw the gay porn, you'd like as soon as there was a schlong, you're like, no! But the kissing, you were with.
Yeah. I liked the affection. I didn't like the...
That's what I'm saying. And the best thing about this is that I believe you could sell it in a lot of places where you could not sell pornography. You could not sell a full-on adult sex lesbian thing somewhere. But I mean...
Wasn't that just like your Salt Lake City porn?
That's what it was. Basically, Salt Lake City porn, though, it was nudity. You just couldn't see actual sex happening. You could not see the actual sexual act. You could see nudity. This would be no nudity, though. Maybe a bra. Whatever. No nudity. Hot chicks kissing. I'm telling you, man. That's $1 billion right there.
I feel things getting back to normal already.
All right. It's, really? More fire ant stories?
Yeah.
Thanks, sweet Christ. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, Rick. This is Ron from Sherwood.
Now, see, that guy's got to live just so he can see the eradication of fire ants in the future.
No. We don't want to eradicate them.
No.
They're fun to torment your siblings with.
Fire ants? Now, have you experienced fire, like the actual fire ants in the South?
Yeah, we were in Arkansas visiting relatives, and I'm quite a bit taller than my brother, and I said, well, I can see clear over there. Why don't you stand on that mound there?
Yeah.
He stood on the mound.
Fantastic.
It didn't take long, and my grandmother stripped all of his clothes off and smeared him with toothpaste for some reason. I guess
this sounds like
any particular brand?
Yeah, I was going to say, was it sort of a Tom's of Maine or sort of a Crest? Or
I think it's Ultra Bright Extra White.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Good times.
But, that was the whole spiel, was that that would stop the swelling. But, I mean, the fire ants were funny, but the toothpaste was a lot funnier.
Oh, dude. Fire ants, though, we don't have anything like that in the Northwest. All we have are red ants, which are bad, but not nearly. I mean, the thing about fire ants, as I've said, is they have no natural enemies in North America. They you know what the fire ants are? If I can just become, put on the geek cloak for a second.
Yeah.
Fire ants really are, it's like Reese says to Linda Hamilton, to Sarah Connor, you know, that they have no blah, blah, blah. They absolutely will not stop. That you cannot stop them. And they're suicidal. sort of. That's a poor choice of words. Red ants, like everyone, are suicidal. No, but I mean, like if you try to terrify them or frighten them, they will sacrifice themselves for the good of whatever, the herd, the nest, the swarm, the whatever. It doesn't matter. They will totally just keep on coming, the wave after wave of fiery red death.
I think they're just, genetically altered Borg.
Yes, they really are. Ants,
that's exactly what they're.
Ants really are the Borg. That really is true. It is true that ants are the Borg. I would be surprised if they did not model the Borg on ants, actually. All right.
So, is it possible to get two T-shirts because I'm whiter than an average person for
the
bridge thing?
You're whiter than a whiter.
Whiter.
I'm not sure. Instead of T-shirts, I'm thinking about doing like a concert laminate. You know, because it is sort of a rock and roll kind of a thing, the 666 whatever. So I'm thinking about doing like a concert laminate where it says like I was there, whatever, blah blah blah, 666, and then you have to have it to get into Dante's. That's how we would do it. It's like, because we're gonna have the after party at Dante's on 666 from like 6:30 to 8, and then when you stand up on the horns across the Hawthorne thing, we will all do the devil horns at 6:06. You will get the laminate that says the date, the time that you were there, and then you use it. You get into Dante's, and it gets you a spin on the pentagram of prizes.
Oh, that's cool. Tell the guy that wasn't able to get into the last party that called earlier,
Chris.
I can smuggle him under my shirt if he's down.
It sounds like that might be a whole lot of shirt that needs.
A whole lot of shirt, baby.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye.
All right, there you go. We have this from Boba Fett. Rick, you should match up Chris from Beaverton with that guy from the One Man Star Wars show. Then he'll see that he has more to live for than that guy. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? It's 503-733-2970. Rick Emerson show. Who's this?
This is Cameron.
Hi, Cameron?
Yeah.
I'm not going to make the obligatory jokes that you're subjected to your whole life. Go ahead. What do you got?
I got two girls walking southbound on I-5 just before Salem with no shirts on.
Really?
Are we supposed to believe this?
Swear to God, they got a sign saying that they're going to Eugene, and if I didn't have to go pick up my girlfriend, they would have been in the truck with me.
So all right. Getting all worked up here. So, speaking of things, I want to do a whole segment on this show called Goddamn Things to Live For. So we have the chicks making out on the website, which really is fantastic, especially because there's sort of like some smacking noises. I don't act like all horrified.
I'm not horrified. It's just weird to hear you describe smacking noises.
I'm just saying it's a little bit of a, the smacking, when chicks kiss, the smacking is like the steak knives. You don't need it, but I mean, it's there. It makes it more, it's another selling point. All right, so when was this?
About 10 minutes ago. I actually had to turn around and go back again, and they were both, one of them was wearing a plaid skirt, the other one was wearing jeans.
And they were topless?
Yep.
Why is it taking them so long to get a ride?
I don't know. That's what I'm thinking.
Seriously, just...
Yep.
All right, and so... But no. Where exactly was this?
Okay, if you're leaving Woodburn,
right,
going towards Salem,
okay,
about halfway in between...
Were they good-looking?
One of them wasn't so good, but the other one, she was pretty hot.
Well, that's how it usually goes. It's kind of a yin yang.
The ugly girl, the hot friend.
Yeah. They were topless. Now, I'm asking now for reasons of journalism. Right, Tim?
Yes.
This is a news program operating in the public interest convenience. This show saves lives. I can ask about this. So were the shirts just open or off?
Off. They had them in their hand.
When you say them, you mean the shirts.
Right, they have the shirts in their hands.
Okay. And then the sign said what?
It said, on our way to Eugene, please give us a ride.
Boy, I love this country. I love this country so much. Really, I just, as Holly Hunter, I would say, I love it so much.
I think you guys need to take a field trip there right now.
I want, you know that right now, everyone with a car who is on the highway, who listens to the show, seriously, you're going to be seeing that in court.
There's an inexplicable traffic jam on the way to Woodburn. We have no reason for it.
Hello, OnStar.
Yes, sir.
Hello, OnStar. I'm trying to find some new girls.
Okay, I'll be with you in just a moment. All right, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
No problem. Thanks, Ray.
There you go. God bless you.
We don't know if it's true, but...
What a peculiar day it's been.
Well, we just forge onward, don't we?
Yeah, we really do. Let's think about the many peaks and troughs that this program has gone through in just the last couple of days. From Seagal, you got that guy earlier, this... Okay...
I mean, you could be playing the same records four times in a three-hour period. What would you rather be doing?
It really is just a matter of 5 feet, isn't it?
It is.
Hey, speaking of which, who wants to hear...
I do. Right now.
Do it.
Do I gotta... We have to break?
Yeah, probably.
We should break. Okay, let me tell you. Here's what we haven't gotten to.
We need to... further discussed the Steven Seagal incident yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
About how you're saying, or a listener was saying, that I promised that I wouldn't do what I always do, which is try to cut you off at the very end. Which is what I've heard from numerous sources is not the case.
All right. Well, here's the thing. So we didn't get a chance to... So here's what's coming up. My caffeine is starting to...
Wizard needs food badly.
I was for Fat Boy. My brain is just ground to a halt.
Rick, why don't we just take a break?
Here's what I got to do before the end of the show. We got to talk more about Horns Cross Hawthorne. We got to talk about the Steven Seagal thing yesterday, and we got to get a decisive ruling from the people on whether I got all five phrases in.
Okay, we will.
And then I have to play this Starbucks corporate pride song because it's terrible.
Well, we have plenty of time to do all that.
Yes, we do.
Listen to you all positive and cheerful. I feel renewed with a new sense of purpose for my life. I need some coffee. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. If you need another reason to live, here's a Kiss song. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there. I'm